Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Oh, it's a great time to be with God's people, isn't it? We have visitors here today for the baptism. Matt, Chris, you guys are just awesome. Just to follow the Lord in your baptism and pronounce to everybody that you're going to follow Jesus the rest of your life. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Isn't that awesome? I'm going to continue today on some of the things that we started last week about living the life that is an overcoming life. How to live an overcoming life. How to live in a way that whatever we face, we are overcomers. And the Lord tells us that we are more than conquerors. He didn't say we were just conquerors. He said we are more than conquerors. And that's something that we have to learn to do. He already calls us that. We have to live up to it with his power. It's not that we have to churn up enough energy or enough might, because we can't do that. It's not in us to do it. It's not in us to be able to find it within ourselves, but we find him within ourselves, who is all powerful. And we want to talk a little bit about how is it that my life can be effective for the kingdom of God. And then when I face difficulties, when I face trials, when I face things that are very hard, that we will take steps to be victorious in all that we're facing. No matter what we're facing, God is bigger. Tell your neighbor. No matter what you're facing, God is bigger. Now turn and tell your other neighbor. Tell your other neighbor. You got two. Yell across the aisle, Pat. Pat, yell across the aisle. Miss Brenda's right over there. She needs to hear that. No matter what you're facing, you know, so what she has to face is me. She has to face me every day. We all know from last week that the enemy has schemes. He has plans to either take us out, to defeat us, to hinder us, to destroy us if he possibly can. But in that same process that the enemy's wanting to do that, God has a plan. Amen. And his plan is to bring you and I to a victorious lifestyle. Everybody say lifestyle. See, this thing is not an event, right? Living victoriously is not an event. It's a lifestyle, something we should do every day. And I hope that in the middle of all this, that we will gain more insight in how we are to be victorious and how we win battles. You know, last week, I think we sang that song about the battle belongs to the Lord. And it does. It belongs to the Lord, but he uses us to win it. We're instruments of righteousness. Victory's already been won. He just wants us to walk in it. But see, sometimes we battle within our own being. The Lord wants us to have a mindset change. He wants us to be thinking the way he's thinking. See, our thoughts are not his thoughts, but we have the capability of having the mind of Christ. You know, he said, we have the mind of Christ. By the way, it didn't say that I have the mind of Christ. It said, we have the mind of Christ. See, we are a body. We're part of the body of Christ, so we have the mind of Christ. So I may not be thinking a certain way, but you may be thinking that way that God is thinking. I may be off a little bit. You can help me rethink what I'm thinking. Does that make sense? If I'm willing to receive it. See, we've got to be able to receive from one another, whether they're this big. You know, because the Bible says a little child shall lead them. You know, so if we can't listen to children, we're missing out on something God is saying sometimes. And just because somebody is older, not old, we're just getting older, you know, older, that we still have something to offer. Because they've been around the block a time or two, and we can learn a lot of wisdom from them. So last week we discovered that, you know, we have Jesus as our Savior, and that is awesome. That is just the beginning of our walk, having Jesus as our Savior. So he gives us the gift of salvation. He had the plan. God made the plans, and Jesus fulfilled the Father's plan. Now, we just fulfilled the rest of the plan by saying yes to Jesus. Then we have Jesus as our Savior. He paid for our sins. We talked about, we sang about the blood and sang about all the things about how what God does for us and how he's treated us and what he's made a way for us to be in. So salvation is huge. But we only get established in our walk when we make him Lord. See, we need him as Savior. We have him as Savior, but we need him and we need to establish him as our Lord. Now, you say, well, he's already Lord. Yeah, he is. Yes, he is. But have you made him Lord? Because he says, you know, every knee is going to bow one day. Every knee. Everybody say every knee. Everything that's created will answer to Jesus one day. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So we establish our walk by making him Lord. The passage that I want to bring something to you is that when you go through difficult things, difficult times, you're just not going through them for you. See, so that's how God works. God will bring you into, through a difficult, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And he gives the reason why. Because you are with me. See, even though he takes us through shadows of valleys of death and difficult times, it's not just for us. It is also for others. Look at Luke 22, verse 31. Jesus looks at Simon Peter and he says this, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. Now, if I'd have been Peter, I'd have been saying, but you told him no, right? I know he's, but you told him he can't do that, right? But see, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said he's demanded permission to sift you like a sieve is like, okay, you're sieving flour and you know, all the hard clumps stay here, but all the real fine stuff go through the little tiny holes. So Peter, you're about to go through some real tiny holes. But you're not going to let, he said, Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And then he says this, and you, when you go through this, when this changes you, he says, strengthen your brothers. You see, he's going through it not just for himself. He's going through something very difficult even for other people, even for his brothers. That word strengthen means to establish, to be steadfast in mind, to be steadfast in your thinking. In other words, when you go through something and you come out changed for the glory of God, he said, tell your brothers to hang on to the same thing that I'm giving you. When you share your testimony, how many of you have a testimony? Raise your hand. If you don't have one, you're going to get one. Everybody's got a testimony. What we've been through, what God's done. And he said, now when you go through this, I want you to strengthen, I want you to establish your brothers. How do you establish it? Help them to be steadfast in their thinking. They may be going through something difficult. He said, don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going. God's with you. Something's about to turn. Something's about to change. Something's about to happen. It's just around the corner. Don't stop. Keep walking. Keep moving. Keep running. Whatever it is that you need to do, keep focusing on him. Because he's gonna change, make changes in the midst. The enemy's plan is for you to quit. The enemy's plan is for you to stop. The enemy's plan is for you to be discouraged and just be frustrated and say, what's the use? I've done all this. I've done that. And I went to church. I'm there every time the door's open. I go to Sunday school. I go Wednesday night. I'm here every time the door's open. What's the use? I'll tell you the use. Another day's coming. Another day's coming. God doesn't stop his plans. His plan is to change you. His plan is to build you. His plan is to help us grow to be more like his son. And he's not going to stop. We sing this, I'm not going to stop till the whole world knows. Stop what? I'm not going to stop talking about him. I'm not going to stop giving my testimony. I'm not going to stop sharing with others the things that I've been through that maybe can help them go through something. Are y'all with me? Well, where does that happen? It happens at Kmart. Kmart. That was a brain freeze. Kmart. I know y'all laughing with me and not at me. I get it. It happens at Walmart. It happens at the gas station. It happens at the neighborhood. It happens on a friendly walk with somebody in the neighborhood the afternoon. It happens wherever you are. It's to share your testimony. That's the reason you went through something hard. That's the reason you were all of this before you was that. You were all of this darkness before you became light. See, everybody's got a testimony that's been born again. Everybody's got a testimony. So he wants us to testify of him being our Savior, and he also wants us to testify and share with others about him being our Lord. Amen. About him being our Lord. See, salvation is the entry point to access all that God has provided. Yes. Salvation is the entry point of all that God has provided. How many of you know he's not lacking? How many of you know you're not lacking? See, there's certain things that we got to do. Hopefully we'll be able to cover some of that today. But that was one part of that passage. But there's two principles that's in that passage about him saying, you're going to be sifted like wheat, but I've prayed for you not to lose your faith, not fail, and that when this changes you, you go and you establish the thinking of your brothers. Then he goes on, the very next, listen to this, that's part one. Part two of this passage is this, in the very next verse, and he said to him, and Peter said to Jesus. Peter's thinking about this thing about being sifted. Then he says to Jesus, Lord, with you, I am ready to go both to prison and to death. Jesus looks at him and says, I'm about to tell you something, Peter. The rooster will not crow today until you have denied me three times. Denied that you know me three times. You know what the principle is here? What you and I say in zeal will be tested by reality. He says, yeah, you're going to get sifted. In his mind, you know, I know it's not written, but I being human beings, it's like, I'm going to be sifted, and I know you're praying for me, but I'm ready to go to jail with you, and I'm ready to die with you. He said, I'm ready. Then Jesus tells him how ready he really is. You're depending on yourself to be ready, but you're going to have to be empowered to be able to fulfill anything that you just said. And what you said in zeal and all the excitement and all this thing, all this hype and all. See, listen, hype is good when you're at a ball game. Yeah, y'all don't want me to stay there long, do you? Now, I'm not here to hype you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to teach you. Now, you can get happy, you can shout, and I'm all for that. But I'm not here to pump you up. I'm really not here to do that. Are y'all with me? It's like a balloon. Have you ever? How many of you have ever blown up a balloon? And then it's this big around, and all of a sudden, all that hot air is here. You let it go and guess what's got to happen? See, hype will not help you. An infilling of the Spirit will. Having a teaching that becomes a revelation for you to become one with, my Bible says it will make you free. Now, I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I'm just sort of leveling the ground that it's fine to rejoice. We're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to be happy. Right? Okay. I'm going to move on. I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord. I'm going to go to prison with you, and I'll die with you. Three times you'll deny even knowing me before the rooster crows. See, he set the record straight because his zeal was not matching his reality. I can do all things, period. It's not what the Bible says, is it? What does the Bible say? I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. So you begin to see that he's after us. He's after us to move forward in our thinking when we get pushed back by adversity. We get pushed back by adversity. But see, Jesus looks at it this way. Over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, it was for freedom. Everybody say, for freedom. For freedom that Christ set you free. He set you free. He opened the door of the prison of your darkness and set you free. He brought you out of darkness and set you into his marvelous light. And he said, it is for freedom that I did that. What freedom? The freedom to become everything he wants you to become. Not just set free, but made free. Does that make sense? Made free. See, Jesus sets us free through the gift of salvation. He makes us free from our willing to follow him and calling him Lord. See, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things that I say? He knows he's Lord, but he's challenging people that's calling him Lord, Lord, but they don't. You're my master. You're my master. You're my Lord, but we don't do what he says. He follows up with that by saying that when you don't do the things he says, it's like building a house upon sand. And then when the hard times comes, when the adversity comes, when the winds, rains, and the waters, and the floods, when it comes, it's going to crumble. You're going to be devastated because it will not. Listen, it will not withstand what the enemy's bringing. But he said, if you hear my words and do them, I liken you unto a man that builds his house on a solid foundation, on a solid rock. Then when the same winds, when the same adversity, when the rains and the floods come, it will not waver. Shake. The Bible actually says it will not shake. You know, the Bible says that there's going to be shaking in the last days. God's going to shake. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. What cannot be shaken? The kingdom. The kingdom. So he said, okay, your kingdom building is, how do you build kingdom? How do you build by the way of the kingdom? Hear what he says and go do it. Hear what he says? Go do it. But I may lose friends in the process. I'd rather lose friends in the process than to lose everything that I've built for him. Are you with me? I may lose influence. Who are you trying to influence? Y'all hearing me? See, God puts us in places that we need to be the light that he has inside us. We need to be the light to go forth and to do the things that he wants us to do, to shine brightly. And where does the light shine the brightest? In the darkness. Don't be afraid of the darkness. That's where he's sending you. That's where he's sending me. The dark places. The missionaries are going to dark places. But why are they going? Because he's sending them. How's he sending them? Full of light. So they can shine the light. See, the darkness cannot overcome the light. The light overcomes darkness. Does that make sense? So in this process, he wants us to learn how to look at things by the way of the kingdom. You may see this, but he sees something else. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep moving. Keep walking. Keep standing. You know, there comes a time, the Bible says, there comes a time when you've done everything that you know that you can possibly do. You've done, you've prayed, you've read, you've got counsel, you've got all that, you've done everything that you know you can possibly do. You put on the armor of God, you've done everything that you know possibly. You know what he says to do after that? Stand. Everybody say it, stand. See, when you've run out of your answers and you can't find his answer is to stand. Stand on the rock. Stand in your faith. Stand. 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 But it doesn't look, you know, I remember when Jen and Michael was going through their difficult times with Gavin's condition, and I kept hearing God say, stand. I know it looks impossible. I know it looks this way, and I know it looked that way for them. It looked like this was hard. Gavin, stand up today. Stand up. Here's Gavin. Give God praise. Listen, I was down there this past Sunday. We had all this, oh my goodness, we had all this color powder. It was all over us, and they were throwing powder all over. Back to school bash, and Brenda says, "Why are you doing that? You're almost 72. Why are you doing that?" And I said, "I may be 72 on the outside, but on the inside, I'm about 10. Brenda didn't leave that alone, and she said, "Yeah, and sometimes you act that way." And I admit, sometimes I do. Sometimes, but we got getting stuff all over us, and getting foam all over us, and getting slime all over us, and all that kind of stuff. Gavin walks up to me, and he says, "Are you having fun, Pastor?" I look a mess. I really do. "Are you having fun, Pastor?" And I said, "I am having a great time. It's the most fun I've had in a long time." You remember that conversation, Gavin? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know what? And I said, "Yeah, I'm having a great time. Are you?" He said, listen to this. How old's Gavin? Gavin, how old are you? 11 and a half. I'd say that half too, brother. But now when I get my age, I'll shrink it a little bit. I said, "Well, I'm almost 72. No, but he says, "Yeah, I'm having a blast. I'm having a great time too." And just imagine, we get to do all of this fun and still worship Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, I got cold. Listen, why? It's out of a child. Look, he had the fun, but he was still focused on worshiping God. Yeah. Even getting slime, getting all this, getting all. And I'm like, sometimes you can be distracted by fun. Oh, it hit me just like that. He said, "Okay, fun cannot distract you from worshiping Jesus. We don't need to operate that." So it helped me a lot. It really did. But y'all remember praying for him for months and months and months and months, you know, for his brain tumor. And it's like, I'm telling you, God is good. God is good. So I need to close. I really do. But there's a lot of things that we need to talk about. But you know, there's just not enough time. I feel like I gotta. I feel like I'm a hose pipe connected to a fire hydrant. It just don't come out fast enough. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. So that's almost a problem. Almost a promise that you're going to have a difficult time. Tribulation is those narrow places where it gets tight. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he didn't leave it at that. He said, but I want you to be of good cheer. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be glad about it. Why do I need to be glad about it? And then he steps up and says, because I have overcome the world. Amen. Nothing you face in the world, he has already overcome it. And we are in him. And he is in us. One of the first things you need to understand is, number one, he's our Lord, not just our Savior. Second thing you need to understand is that we are in Christ. And he is in us. Listen. It's fixed. It's a rigged game. If it's really not a game, but it's why? Because he said, "I got this." We can't say we got it. You know, you see those commercials. If something happens, you know, something. If somebody falls down, said, "Oh, I got this." No, we ain't got nothing, but him. He's got this. He's got this. There's just so much. I'm going to skip ahead to something. One of the things that we've got to do, we have got to do this. Everybody say, we've got to do this. When we're faced with our difficulty, the first thing, really what we have to do, is we have to reset our thinking on him. Before you ever start calculating what the enemy's doing, you know he's up, you know it's either coming or it's already hit you. Before you start discerning everything about it, don't worry about exercising authority yet. Y'all understand me. Don't worry about exercising authority. Why is that, Pastor? Didn't he give us a, don't worry about exercising authority. First thing you need to do is start focusing on him. Look, because sometimes we have lost, listen to this, we have lost the awe of God, the majesty of God, the magnificence of God. We need to make sure that we're saturated in that before we see. That's fighting the warfare his way and not the enemy's way. You start fighting the warfare the enemy's way, we're not going to come out too good. We got to fight that warfare his way, the Lord's way. So that's where we have to saturate ourselves with who he is and be in awe. Listen about what the Bible says about being in awe. Psalm 22:23. Stand in awe of him. That word awe is something to overwhelming reverence. Everybody say overwhelming. Overwhelming reverence toward God. It's overwhelming adoration to God. It's overwhelming honor to God. It's overwhelming devotion to God. In all, it's overwhelming. Amen. Have you been overwhelmed with God? He's just not our buddy, just wants to go along with. No, he's everything that we ever need. If we need a buddy, he's our buddy too. But he is so much bigger than that. And he says this in Psalm 33, verse 8. Stand in awe of him. Why stand in awe of him? The Bible says, he spoke and it was done. I'm like, stand in awe of him. He spoke and it was done. Devil can't do that. Are y'all hearing me? Devil can't do that. He said, he commanded and it came to pass. Stand in awe of his signs, Psalm 65:8. Stand in awe of his words, Psalm 119:161. Stand in awe of his name, Malachi 2:5. The multitude saw him heal people, and they were filled with awe, and they glorified God because they had seen such, they never had seen such authority that was in someone. Standing in awe. Acts 2, verse 41. Said 3,000 souls were added to the church. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe because signs and wonders and miracles were taking place. Listen. Gavin is a walking miracle. A walking miracle. So you stand in awe, and we're saying that Antony, if you're listening, I'm saying you're a walking miracle. I'm saying it. I'm declaring God's goodness. I'm declaring God's greatness. I'm declaring his healing power to touch Antony in such a way that he too will be a testimony in this house of how great God is. Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, the kingdom you shall receive, there's a kingdom which cannot be shaken. We talked about that. And he said, we offer to God an acceptable sacrifice with reverence and in awe of God. We need to be astonished. We need to be captivated by him. What are you captivated by? He wants us to be captivated by him. When? Just on Sunday? No, every minute of every day to be captivated. He didn't say you have to be so religiously minded that you can't be any earthly good. No, we just carry his presence. Just carry his presence. Wherever you go, just carry his presence. He said in Mark chapter 7, he said, they were utterly astonished, saying, all these things he's done. He even makes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. He gets in the boat with the disciples in Mark 6, and he said, and he stops the wind and gets in the boat with them. They're frightened as they can be. And he makes be quiet. He didn't say, please stop, wind. No, he said, be quiet. And it was still. Then he got in the boat with them, and then he said, and they were greatly amazed. Are you amazed at God? Are you amazed at how great he is? You want to know how great he is? You want to know how great he is? Listen to this. Listen to this. It says, let's see, where is it at? Where's it at? Right here. Isaiah chapter 40. We're closing. Isaiah chapter 40. Listen to this. He's the one that measured the waters in the palm of his hand. Y'all been to Myrtle Beach lately? Y'all seen how much water that is? You with me? He measured all the waters of the earth in the palm of his hand. He measures the heaven and with a span. You know what a span is? He measures the heaven with the spreading of his fingers. He measures heavens with the spreading of his fingers. He calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. He knows how many grains of sand there are. Listen, he's awesome. Stand in awe of him. He weighs the mountains in scales, with scales. Let me get this mountain. He weighs the hills in a balance. All right, get a couple of those hills over here. Let's see how much they weigh. Verse 22 of chapter 40, he stretches out the heavens like a curtain. They're like a curtain to him. He spreads them out like a tent for us to dwell in. What am I saying today? Mindset. A mindset on the Spirit, the Bible says, will be life and peace. A mindset on the flesh will be death. Our mindset. What are we thinking? When we face adversity, what do we start thinking? Oh, no. No, say, oh, God. Not, oh, no. Oh, God. He's got this. We may feel the pressure. But I'm telling you, he's got more pressure in me than the world does. I got more pressure inside me than the world can put on me. Are you with? Why? Because he is the one that able to conquer it. He is the conqueror. I'm just walking in him. But see, when we don't set our mindset on him, we start fighting the war the enemy's way. And he don't want us to do that. Amen. He wants to fight it by the way of God, God's way, Jesus' way. So the next time something looks too big, see, that's what David did. This dude's 9 feet tall, Goliath. And the Bible said he don't just casually walk up. He tries to put on man's armor. It ain't working. Keeps clanging, doing this. He can't do anything. That's not been tested. So he takes what he's been tested. He takes his sling. Are you hearing me? He takes his sling. The Bible didn't say he just casually walk up. He's running. The Bible said he makes haste. He runs to the giant. As big as he is, 9 feet, and David's about 15 years old at this time, 14, 15. The enemy tries to declare who he is. He's nothing. You're going to stop me. You're nothing but a dog. You? And David lets him know, it's not the dog that's coming. It's the Lord God who is coming. It is him who is coming. It is him who is going to take you out. And by the way, it wasn't a little bitty pebble. Those rocks in that brook was about that big round. So next time you face the resistance, you face the opposition, you start calculating how big God is. Amen. Spreads his hand to measure heavens. Spreads his fingers. Yeah, that's about right. That's how big he is. Can we do that song, Charlie, and we'll close? That'll be our closing part. I hope today that you heard something that challenges you to step forward and not backward when you face opposition, to step up instead of back, to step in instead of out. God wants us to have the mindset that, you know, it's like this, hey, he's too big to hit. No, he's too big to miss. It's too big to miss. God is much bigger. God is much bigger than what you're facing. Much bigger than what you're facing. Amen. Stand to your feet and we'll close with this song. Get into it. Majesty, majesty. Charlie, lead us into that. Worship his majesty. Majesty, kingdom authority. Majesty, kingdom authority.
Kingdom authority.
Flows from his throne.
Flows from his throne.
Unto his own.
Unto
his own. Anthem raised.
Anthem raised.
So exalt.
So exalt.
Lift up on high. The name of Jesus. Magnify. Come glorify.
Magnify. Come glorify.
Christ Jesus, the King. Majesty. Worship his majesty.
Majesty.
Worship his majesty.
Worship his majesty.
Jesus who died. Now glorified, King of all kings,
Jesus who died,
now glorified,
King
of all kings. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for teaching us today to remind us to step into you, to not let go, to step forward, and to concentrate and to fix our mind, our thoughts, upon you and the vastness and the greatness of who you are, that we may give you glory in all that we go through. And Lord, we step saying, use us for your kingdom. Use us to represent who you are in this earth. Lord, no matter what we go through, you never leave us. You never forsake us. You're always with us. You always protect us. You always watch over us. You always empower us. You always fix us in a way that we're ready for the challenge that the enemy gives, because we're living and having our being inside you, the great one, the almighty God, King of kings and Lord of lords. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.